All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is Mem Beis. We are starting on Mem Aleph Amud Beis 41b, and we are starting at Tanu Rabbanan. We'll say which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Kislev, by Josh and Becca Friedman, the Eloi Nishmas, Josh's father, Yisrael Yehuda ben Rav Chaim Rifal, on the occasion of his first Yartzeit, and by Sammy and Malka Esterson, the Eloi Nishmas, Malka's parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKohen, Yisrael Rachel Bas Baruch, and Sammy's mother, Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the families a Nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. An incredibly wonderful daf today. So Tashma, Tanrabana, Bivsara. So we'll say, so the pasuk says, Bivsara. Milamid, we already started this drasha yesterday. Milamid, Shematama Bifnim Kibacho. So we'll say, Bivsara teaches me that halacha lemaisa. Now again, this is specifically referring to Nida, as we're going to see in just a moment. But Bivsara teaches me the concept that halacha lemaisa, even before the blood exits the body, halacha lemaisa, the woman is already tmeya. So remember again, in Hilchos Nida, what that means is, as soon as the blood is dislodged from the uterus, even if it still remains in what we called the prusda, the vaginal canal, has not yet exited the body, halacha lemaisa, she is tmeya. So ainli ela nida. I only know that applies to nida. Zova minayin. I don't know that it applies to zova as well. Talmud lomar, zova bivsara. Because we will say the pasuk says, ultimately again, flows within her flesh. So from that phrase, we learn that it applies to zova as well. Poletes shechvas zera minayin. So it's an interesting halacha. How do I know that this is true also regarding a poletes shichvas zera, that halacha lemaisa, after relations, a woman goes ahead and emits seed, right? The zera of her husband. So how do I know that that's also metamet talmud lomar yihyeh? That halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says, the pasuk says yihyeh, to teach me that she's metame bifnim kibachutz. Rabbi Shimon says no. Daya kibala. Rabbi Shimon disagrees on this last point and explains that a woman should be no different than her husband in regards to shechvas zera. How so? Ma bala inu metame achetet se tuma luchutz. Both say, just like her husband, is only metame with shechvas zera when it exits his body. Af hi inu metame achetet se tuma luchutz. So too she will only be tmeya when the zera exits the body as well. V'sav Rabbi Shimon, so we'll say, so that's Rabbi Shimon's logic. So Rabbi Shimon will agree with Nida, he'll agree with Zava, that halacha lemaisa, in these particular cases, it's metame bifnim kibachutz, but will disagree with shechvas zera. And will say that she could be no more chamer than her husband. Just like her husband only becomes tame al shechvas zera when the zera leaves his body, so too she should only become tamei when the zera leaves her body as well. Does Rabbi Shimon die kibala? Does Rabbi Shimon really hold that her status should be like her husband's? After all, v'hatanya v'rachatzu b'mayim v'tamu ad ha'erev. The pasuk says that ultimately, again, they will literally immerse in water and become tame until the evening. So we'll say the context over here is the isha asher yishkav ish osa shichvas zera. So we'll say the pasuk over here is talking about the fact that after a couple engages in relations, halacha lemaisa, they both become tameim. Now remember, again, it's a relatively lighter form of tumah in that it's only tumas erev. They have to go to the mikvah and they become tahorim that night. Rabbi Shimon says, V'chi ma bazeh lelamdenu. What does this come to teach us? If it comes to teach us that if there's physical contact with Shechva Zera, they become Tameim. Harei kvar ne'amar lemato, o ish. The pasuk already teaches that later on, teaches that to us later on. Ela mipnei shetumas beis astarim hi. Rather, what the pasuk is going to teach us is as follows. I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, a woman should not become tamei as a result of shechvas zera. Why not? Because they'll say it's what's called tumas beis hastarin, right? It's tumah that occurs in what we'll call hidden or hidden parts of the body, right? The zera is emitted inside of her. And as such, again, tumas beis hastarin in general is not tamei. The nevertheless, tumas beis hastarin ain't a metame. Elish exeris hakosifi. So interestingly enough, what the pasuk is teaching me is as follows. I might have thought that a woman should not become tameya as a result of shechvas zera from Bia. Why not? That's what's called Tumas Beis Hastarim. That's Tuma that occurs ultimately again in hidden parts of the body. And in general, we hold that Tuma that occurs in hidden parts of the body does not convey Tuma. But yet, again, it's a chiddush in the Torah that she does become Tumeah as a result of Shechva Zera. They're both saying, now remember again, the point is now we have a contradiction. Because Rabbi Shimon said before that Daya Kibbo'ala, a woman should be no chamer, more chamer than her husband. Just like he only becomes tameh when the zera leaves his body, so too she should only become tameh when the zera leaves her body. Yet what do we see from this limud over here? That she's tameh when the zera is inside of her body. So which one is it? Lo kashya, kan b'mishameshes, kan b'poletes. Two different cases, I will say. One case is talking about as a result of relations, that as a result of relations, she becomes tameh, even when the zera is inside of her. That's the Kiddush of the Torah. The second case, no matter about poletes, when she becomes tameh as a result of emitting the seed. Tertullian says, what? Poletes? Tefok leidah shimsha. They both say, now the only way that a woman could be a poletes, that she could emit seed is how? Is if she had relations. To which the Gemara says, b'shatavla l'shimusha. What's the case? The case is where she had relations, and then she went to the mikvah afterwards. The memra. Is that to tell me the mishameshes betumas erev sagila? Is that to tell me that again, when a woman has relations, it results in just a more minor form of tumah, tumas erev, to which Rav says mishameshes. If a woman has relations, kol shlosha yamim asura lecho b'tumah. We'll say fascinating halacha. So the Gemara says like this: Rav says when a woman has relations, so assuming let's say again that she is the wife of a kohen, she can't eat truma for 3 days after relations. Why not? She afshar lo shelo tiflot. There's a concern that within 3 days after relations, what's going to happen? She is going to emit seed. And if she emits seed, then if she emits zera, then halacha l'maaseh, she becomes tameah. To which Rabbi says, so you see over here that the resulting tumah from relations is not just in the immediate aftermath, but could span 3 days. Hachama askinon, what's the case? What's interesting? Shed biluha b'mita. The case of us that we're dealing with over here is she immersed in the mikvah while still lying on the bed. They immersed her. As well, so what we're trying to figure out over here is a case where a woman could immerse for the tumah. That's a result of biyah, but yet not have to worry about poletes shichvas zera. So that case, essentially what happened is if halacha l'maaseh she had relations and didn't move. In that case, again, we assume the zera remains inside of her and doesn't immediately come out of her. Therefore, if you were to immerse her while on the bed, halacha l'maaseh she would be tahora. To which the Gemara says, Michlal, the Chisrael says, so just understand, the Gemara is not espousing an actual case. The Gemara is trying to create a halachic reality in which a woman could be toveles for the tumah as a result of bia and not have to worry about poletes shechvas zera. Michlal, the Chikama, Rava da Azla I Bikara Vatavla. So is that, you're telling me then that Rava is talking about a case where she went literally on foot to be toveles in the mikvah, in which case, once she's walking, then there's a concern for poleta shechva zera. Dilma bahadi de ka'azli shadise. Maybe as she's walking, ultimately again, the zera will come out of her top of membeis. V'chitema dilma ishtayer. And furthermore, again, don't we have to be concerned that some of the zera remains inside of her? Ihaki chayshinon shemen ishtayer mi boile. If that's the case, in the Chinami, the Gemara should have said that we're choshesh, that perhaps some of the zera remains inside of her. Ela l'rava nami shit bilua b'mita. Rather, Rav would also set this up as a case of where they immersed her on the bed, whereas while she was still laying down and didn't move. Velo kasha, and I will say there's no contradiction. Kan b'misapeches, kan b'she'ina misapeches. So I will say, so just to understand what's happening over here, the Gemara is just trying to come up with a case of where a woman could become tameah, not where. A woman, here's what we know. A man and woman both become tameah as a result of relations, which is actually quite a fascinating concept. Right, that here is a permitted act that ultimately again results in tumah. Granted, it's the lightest form of tumah. Right, it just results in tumas erev. You go to the mikvah. Ultimately, again, she becomes tahora that night. So it's actually quite fascinating. But nevertheless, halacha l'maaseh, they both become tameim. Now she becomes tameah as a result of two things. Number one, the bia itself. Number two, the concern of poletes shechvas zera. That concern, that Nir, I will say, so remember, the reason we're in this topic is because the question is, at what point in time does the zera convey tumah? So Rabbi Shimon wanted to say that halacha lemaisa, she is no different than her husband. Just like her husband ultimately, again, only becomes tamei al shechvas zera when it exits the body, she too will also only become tamei when it exits the body. When it exits the body. So I'll say, so we really have two different states here. Everyone agrees that as a result of Bia, she becomes Tumea. That's true even when the Zara is inside of her. But additionally, there's an additional concern over the next couple of days that if she emits that Zara, she will become Tumea as well. All the Gemara is trying to do over here is show cases where Halacha Lamaisa, technically speaking, she can go to the mikvah as a result of the Bia, even before the poletes shichvas zera issue has set in. So, for example, lokasha kama misapachas kam b'she'ina misapachas. So, Rava will say again, the distinction will be if she turns over, if she doesn't turn over. If she turns over, dislodges the zera, then there's a concern of poletes shichvas zera. If she doesn't, then halacha l'maisa, we assume that the zera remains in place. Berava akraykai, and Rava is commenting on the pasuk Vachikam. This is what he means to say. Ki kasev rachman levarachatzu b'mayim v'tamu as ha'ara. V'tamu ad ha'erev. When the pasuk says they shall immerse in water and they become tameim until the evening, b'she'ina misapeches. That's ultimately again where she remained in place. She did not go ahead and turn over, and therefore did not dislodge the zera. If she did not dislodge the zera, then Rabbo says she can get to the mikvah ultimately for the bia and doesn't have to worry about poletes shichvas zera. However, again, avab misapeches kol shloshi yamim asur leechol b'truma. But halacha l'maisa, once there's movement, there will be a concern that poletes shichvas zera, and for 3 days after bia, halacha l'maisa, she would not be permitted to go ahead and eat truma. Why? She afshar la shelo tiflot. Because Rabbi Sayyid, again, ultimately, again, it's impossible that she will not emit something. So Rabbi Sayyid, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara understands as follows. There is a Gzeiras HaKosav that says that as a result of relations, she is Tameo. And you say, they're both Tameo. We're focusing on her right now because ultimately, again, it's the Tumas Beis HaStarim that is the subject of our Sugya. But both husband and wife are both Tameim after an act of Bia. It is a lowest form of Tumah, only Tumas Erev, requires them to go to the mikvah by day and just wait until nightfall, and then they are once again Tahorim. In addition to that, there's a concern of Poleta Shechvas Zera, which Halacha Lamaisa says that for 3 days after the act of relations, when the Zera is still considered to be viable, that Zera conveys Tumah. And if she were to go ahead and emit that Zera, she would once again become Tameh. Now, I will say again, it's going to be the lowest form of Tumah, what we call Tumas Erev. Good. So, Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna asked Abaye the following Shaila. Poleta Shechva Zera, interesting Shaila. Roa Havya Ono Ga'as Havya. So, this is actually quite fascinating. If a woman emits Zera, so remember again, she's had relations with her husband, again, she became Tumah as a result of relations. This is about post that. Now, she emits some of the Zera afterwards. What's the nature of that tumah? Is that what we call roa, or is that nogas? They're both saying, now, we've actually spoken about this before. Look at Rashi. Roa havya mishum ri'iya. So both say, now what this literally means is as follows. When she's polet shechvas zera, this is quite fascinating. Is this considered to be a discharge? Is it discharge tumah? And remember, so both say, what's discharge tumah? For example, discharge tumah will be like nida, will be like zava. Or is it magatuma? Right, so is the concern over here that she's having a discharge, or is the concern over here that halacha lemaisa, she's coming into physical contact with something that is tame? So we'll say, for example, if it's magatuma, what would it be like? We actually had this problem. What would it be like? It would be like sheretz. It would be like sheretz. It would be no different, ultimately, again, than her touching a sheret. So we'll say that's the fundamental shay. Look at Rashi. Roa havya mishum ri'iya tamei. Kra umishum no gas b'shich vazera. Dat hashta havya negiya space asar v'lo havya tamei. Ela bayom. Ela b'yom tashish. V'gzeres hakasa v'chipalta nega labrayim matamei. So we'll say, see, here's the shay lo. See, is it considered, when you say roa literally means to see. But in this context, roa really means a discharge. Is it discharge tumah? Or is it maga tumah? To which the Gemara says, Nafkamino, why would it matter? I'll tell you why. Listar, ulatame b'mashahun, ulatame b'fnim kibachut. So we'll say, here are all the nafkaminos. This is incredible. Number one, listar. We'll say, let's say again, a woman is in the middle of counting her shivin ikiyim for zivus. Right? So she's in the middle of counting shivin ikiyim for zivus, and she's poletas shichvas zera. She emits seed. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? The halacha is that if a woman has discharged tuma during her days, her shivin ikiyim, what happens? That ends the shivin ikiyim, and she needs to start again. If she only experiences maga tuma during her shivin ikiyim, then what? She loses the day. She loses that one day, but not all the days before. So for example, a simple example of that. A woman is counting shivin ikiyim for zava gidola. And what happens? She touches a sheretz. We'll say, what's her status? What's her status? She loses that one day, but does not lose the days beforehand. So we'll say, this is a major nafkamina, it's poleta shechvazera. Is it maga, or is it discharge? Number one, does she lose shivin ikiyim? Number two, letame b'mashuhu. We'll say next, is what about how much of an emission does a woman have to have in order to become tamea or not? So we'll say, so this depends. If halacha lemaisa to discharge tuma, then what? Then any amount ultimately again is problematic. Like we saw that in the Mishnah. There's no shear for Nida. There's no shear for Zava. So if, again, Polata Shech Vazera is a discharge tuma, then halacha lemaisa, any amount is problematic. As opposed to Maga tuma requires a shear. Like for example, we'll say a sheretz is only problematic if the sheretz is of a certain size. Next, Ulatame Bifnim Kibachutz. And we'll say lastly, the last nafkamina will be if halacha lemaisa, does one become Tameya even before the discharge has left her body? So if it's discharged Tumah, like Nida and Zava, so ultimately, again, a woman becomes Tameya even before the discharge leaves the body, even while it's still inside. Masha Inkin, if it's Mago Tumah, right, if it's contact Tumah, it's only Tameya once it leaves the body. So we'll say three major nafkaminas. So Marav Shach, says the Gemara, well, I don't understand. What's the question? Ishmiela Masnisin. So we'll say, remember, this is Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna asking the following question from Abaye. So I don't understand. So we'll say, so if Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna learned the Braisa that we just said before, right? We'll say, just what did we just look at Rashi? Masnisa, the Pligi Rabban Rabbi Shimon El, the Kami Rabban Apolete Shech Vazram Etam Bifnim Kibachos, the Rabbi Shimon Dai Kibal. We'll say, we just spoke about this. Right? We just spoke about this. In the Braisa just before that we quoted on Mem Aleph Amad Beis, we had a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon, namely, about the status of Poletes Shechvas Zera. So the Rabbanon hold that Halacha Lamaisa Poletes Shechvas Zera is just like Nida and Zava. Just like Nida and Zava are Temea Bifnim Kibachutz, so too Shechvas Zera will be Temea Bifnim Kibachutz, which tells you that what? That it's discharged Tuma. Rabbi Shimon said, Daya Kibola. She should be no more Chamer than her husband, just like the husband is only Tamei when the discharge leaves his body. So she's only Tamei when the discharge leaves her body, in which case, according to Rabbi Shimon, it sounds like what? It's Tumas Mago. Right? It's contact Tuma. So I don't say, Rashul Bar Bista, what's your Shaila? Say, if you heard the Mishnah, L'Rabbanan Ro'a Havya, L'Rabbi Shimon Ogas Havya, it's very simple. According to the Rabbanan, I will say, Poletis Shech Vazer, according to the Rabbanan, is discharged Tuma. According to the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's contact Tuma. V'ilo Shmir Le Masnisen, I'm sorry, V'ilo Shmir Le Masnisen, and if Rashul Bar Bista did not learn the Brayis above, Mistabra Nogas Havya. I will say, it would seem to be that the logical thing to say is that halacha lemaisa poletes shechvazera is tumas maga, is contact tumah. Now, both say, now why would the logical position be to say that it's tumas maga? Because also on a very simple level, this is something that is not from her. In other words, as much as she is discharging it, lemaisa, it came from her husband. So it's a substance that really is outside of her. So therefore, again, I will say generally when it comes to discharge tuma, those are discharges ultimately again that emanate inside of her. So therefore, again, bistabra it would be that halacha lemaisa it would be tumas maga. To which the Gemara says no. The Olam Shmieli Messi, so Shlomo Rabbeisna learned the Braisa. Valiba de Rabbanon lo kami baile, and according to the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon is not a Sheva. He understands according to the Rabbanon, ultimately again, that the Rabbanon hold that Halacha Lamaisa Shechva Zera is a discharge Tumah. Why Rabbosai? Because it makes no difference where it came from. What matters right now is that it's inside of her body. Once something is inside of her body, it becomes part of her. Once it's become part of her, the fact that it originated from her husband doesn't make any kind of difference. That's the sheet of the Rabbanon. Ki kami baile, so we'll say, who does Rosh Hashanah Bar Mitzvah have a shayla according to? Alibud Rabbi Shimon. His shayla is in Rabbi Shimon. Ulatame bifnim. So Rabbi say, what's his shayla, Rabbi Shimon? Ulatame bifnim kibachotz lo kami bayle. So Rabbi should this according to. So he has no shayla about whether or not shich vazir is matay bifnim kibachotz, because ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon holds daya kibala, that ultimately shich vazira does not convey tuma inside of her, only conveys tuma outside of her. So what's his shayla? Ki kami bayle. Lister ulatame bechoshu. So we'll say his shayla is ultimately again. Does what's the status of polata shechvazera on ruining or not ruining on obliterating the days of shivnikiyim by zavigidola if she emits any amount? So ki kam Rabbi Shimon daya kibala. When Rabbi Shimon says that a woman should be no more chamer than her husband. Hani mili litamuye bifnim kibachutz. Is he only saying that with regard to what? They say that halacha lemaisa, she should not become tame while the shechva zera is inside, but only when it leaves her body, just like her husband. Avalistra ulatame b'chol shura havya. But regarding again shivnikiyim, he's going to treat polata shechva zera like discharge tuma, and therefore again it will go ahead and destroy the shivnikiyim. Al dilma loshna. Or maybe no, Rabbi Shimon is consistent with his shita throughout, and halacha lemaisa will say, that it is considered to be a magad, a contact tuma in every case. Siigid de amri, others say abosai. So abosai. So in this version, Rishmo bar Bisna's question was according to Rabbi Shimon. We know that the Rabbanon hold that halacha lemaisa poletes shech vazera is a discharge tuma. That's what we know. So in the realm of the Rabbanon, Poleta Sheikh Vazera is no different than Nida and Zava. Okay, Rabbi Shimon, his shayla, Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Shlomo was in Rabbi Shimon. Does Rabbi Shimon hold that in every case, ultimately, again, Poleta Sheikh Vazera will be a magotuma, or does he only say in certain cases it's maga, but in other cases, ultimately, again, it will be discharged? Ikadami, an alternate version of this, Liolon lo shmieli masnisa. Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Shlomo never heard the braisa that we said before. And this is what he was asking. Very interesting. But you know that the Torah was very chamer regarding Baalei Keryon by Har Sinai. But we know what was the halacha by Har Sinai. That ultimately, again, there were shloshes yimei hagbala. Why was there shloshes yimei hagbala? Because it was a concern that if couples had relations, we didn't want the women to be emitting zera by Matan Torah. So therefore, there were 3 days where husband and wives had to separate prior to receiving the Torah. This way, if a couple had relations right before, she would emit all of the zera that had to be emitted. And by the time ultimately Kabbalah HaTorah came, everybody would be tar. It's interesting that that seems to be the only form of Tumah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was machmir on by Matan Torah. Very interesting. So the Gemara says, Mida achmir achmona Baalei Keryon b'Sinai. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was machmir by Baalei Keryon b'Sinai, roa havya, then it must be discharged Tumah, since it's being dealt with in such a chamer way. Ol dilma lo gamrinon misinai d'chidishu. Or maybe Rabbi say, halacha lemaisa. The truth is, you can't learn out what happened by Har Sinai. Why? Because it happened by us, and that was a chiddush, right? That's not the norm. That's an exception to the rule. After all, the hazavin umitzora im dechamiri v'lo achamiri hu rabbanon. Because we'll say, after all, think about this: there were no provisions made for zavin and mitzora in by Matan Torah. No provisions made for that for those people, right? About their tower or anything else. Yet there were provisions made for Baalei Keryon. So it could very well be that Har Sinai is just an outlier, and therefore you can't learn out anything. Amrlei roa havya. So to which he responded to him, the halacha is that carry that ultimately, again, similarly, mission is roa, is considered to be discharge tumah. discharge tumah. But said that seems to be how the Gemara is passing over here. That Allah Alamai said is discharge tumah. Asa shayli l'rava. Supposedly they asked the shayla to Rava. Knew what's the status of a bal keri? Is it roa? Is it discharge or is it magia? Amalei roa havya. Asa kamei Rav Yosei. Amalei roa havya. Hada asa kamei dabai. Amalei. So they keep asking all these rabbanim. All the men say roa. It's discharge tumah. So that they came before Abai. Amalei. It literally means you're all spitting the same spit, which means you're all saying the same thing. Amrlei Shapir Amrlecha. Good retort. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Shimon daya kabbalah. We will say even Rabbi Shimon, when Rabbi Shimon says that a woman could be no more chamer than her husband, what does that mean? That refers to ela letami bifnim kibachutz. That refers ultimately again. Rabbi Shimon is just stating that in regard to the fact that halacha lemaisa. Zera doesn't convey tumah until it exits the body. Just like for the husband, it doesn't convey tumah until it exits the body. So too for the wife, it won't convey tumah until it exits the body. But ultimately, again, to go ahead and ruin the days of Shiva Nikiyim, ulatame b'choshuhu, and to be metame with any amount, ultimately, what's the halacha? Roehi. Halacha lemaisa, so Baal Keri is considered, or Keri, I should say, is considered to be a tumas, a discharge tumah, and not simply a mago tumah. So Moshe, I'll just share with you something interesting. So the Rambam in Sharavos HaTumah, in Perek Tes, and in Perek Hei, excuse me, writes as follows. Let me just read this to you, this Rambam. He says, okay, let me just read to you that. Let me draw. Fine. I'll read to you the 12s very quickly. Echare ishva echare isha shishim shumitasa shneit me. Man and woman, when they had relations, both become tummy. This is parakeh alocha tes. Ushneim rishon lutumad din Torah. Ve'ena isha tmea mishum nogas b'shich vazera. Shenegiyah space asar enenegiyah. Ela mishameshes harihi kiroa keri. So both say, so first of all, the Rabban Paskins, that alocha lemaisa again, that he holds, like the Gemara says over here, that the din of Tumas Keri is a din in Re'iyah, is discharge Tumah. Is discharge Tumah, right? Just like for the husband it's discharge Tumah, so too for the wife it is discharge Tumah. So to skip a little bit, so that's number one. Halacha l'maisa, so that's how the Rambam Paskins, it's a din in Roeh, discharge, not a din in Mageh. And I'm just skipping a little bit. In Halacha Yirav, the Rambam writes, Ha'isha shepalta shech vazera, impalta also besok shalosh, ono sorry, to make Roeh keri, l'fichach soseres yom echad, im ha'isa zava, ki isha ra keri, umetami b'chol shehu, Afa pishalo yatsa luchutz ela neekra viyegia lebena shinaim nitmes shar shichvas zera kidama. So kidama madama metami bithim ash shichvas zera shetiflo titami also bithim. So we'll say, so again, very quickly, just essentially halacha lemaisa, the way the Rambam Paskins is that Tumas Keri is considered to be like Tumas Riya. It is discharge Tuma. And therefore, again, it is metame bifnim kibachutz. It is metame even inside, even before it exits the body. And ultimately, again, it makes them a rishon l'tuma. The one part, interestingly enough, and we'll see this is going to come up later on, is that halacha l'maisa, when it comes to shivin ekim of azav, if or azav of woman is poleta shichvas zera, she only loses that day. She will not lose all of the days beforehand. So interestingly enough, although we are treating keri like tumas ri'ya, like discharge tumah, it will be treated like discharge tumah in every area except for shiva nikiyim. That if she has a discharge on one of the seven clean days, she only loses that days and not the prior days. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Hanida v'azav v'shomer shom k'neged yom. So mostly here we go. Raisa says as follows. Nida zava shomer shom k'neged yom v'hayoledes kulan tmeos bifnim kibachutz. All of these women, Rabosei, are tameos bifnim kibachutz, which means they become tameim even when the blood is inside of them, even before it has left the body. Or I shouldn't say blood. Discharge. Discharge. Bishlam akula l'chayi. So I understand all of these cases, it makes sense. Ela yoledes. But Rabosei, what about the case of a woman who gives birth? Ibi me nida nida. Ibi me ziva ziva. There was an interestingly enough, when in terms of determining the status of a woman who has given birth, doesn't everything depend on what time of the month she is giving birth at, right? Is it the days of Zivus or is it the days of Nida? Won't that ultimately determine the nature of the blood she is discharging? to which the Gemara said, Lotzricha sheyarda litbal mituma latara. So we'll say, this is fascinating. What's the case here? She went to the mikvah. We'll say, the case that we're dealing with over here, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, mituma latara, it's in the wide lines, about six lines in. Mituma latara, la'achar shavu ayim v'kamalan kebesila, darim b'nos kusim, amri b'nos kusim, b'yomei utvila tar rachmano, dolo havi damtar el la'achar tvila. So we'll say, listen to this. We pass like Beisila, which means how do you transition from Yemei Tumah to Yemei Tara? How? Two things. You need the passage of time and immersion in the mikvah. So for example, let's say she had a girl, so she's Tumeya for 14 days. After those 14 days, what happens? So passage of time, and then she goes to the mikvah. So I'll say, now watch this case. What's the situation over here? What's the situation over here? Where she went to the mikvah to do her two mitzvah tara. So the Gemara says, what's the case? V'chi hadam rav zera, am rav chiyah bar ashi, am rav. Yoled deshiyar, dalit pol. Listen to this case. Mitzvah tara, a woman gave birth. She's going to the mikvah to transition from her yemei tumah to yemei tara. V'nekar mimena dam birida. We'll say, watch this. And as she's going down into the mikvah, what happens? Blood dislodges from the uterus, but is still inside of her. Has not exited her body. So what's the halacha? Tmeya, biri the tmeya. If the blood exited the uterus and is in the canal as she's going into the mikvah, she's tmeya, right? Ba'aliya, but if the same thing happens, what? After she went to the mikvah and as she's coming out of the mikvah, blood dislodges from the uterus and is inside of the canal, then what's the halacha? Tahora. Now the logic behind that is quite simple. Before she goes to the mikvah, she's still tmeya. Therefore, again, remember when it comes to yoledes, even before the blood exits the body, once it has left the uterus and it's inside of the canal, then halacha lemaisa, that is considered to be as if she's had a discharge. So if that discharge occurs on the way down to the mikvah, ultimately, again, she's tmeya. If it occurs after she's immersed in the mikvah, she's entered into yemei toar, she is tahora. Why is it that when she goes down to the mikvah, she's going to be tmeya? After tuma bluahi, Rabbi says, is this not considered to be what's called tuma blua? Tuma means absorbed tuma. In other words, it's absorbed into the body. Amalei zil shayli the Rabbi Avin, the azbere nihile, the karkish le bereshe. So he said, go ask this question to Rabbi Abin, because I explained this before Rabbi Abin. Rabbi Abin nodded his head to me in the base manager. She liked my explanation. Azul Shaili went and he asked, Amrlei, Asua kinevelas of tar. So I'll say, because they made this case, interesting comparison, they made this case of where the blood dislodged but is still inside of the body, like swallowing of the nevela of an oftar. The Rabbi say, what's the halacha when you swallow a piece of a nevelas of tahar, which means the carcass of a kosher bird, as soon as there's an amount of that in your throat, excuse me, metame begodim bebeis hablio. It's metame begodim. Ultimately, again, it conveys too much to your clothing, right? As soon as that piece of oaf, as soon as that nevelas of tar is inside of your throat. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Now, again, when you're swallowing that piece of nevelas of tar, that is balua, that is literally swallowed or absorbed inside of your body. Yet what? It still conveys tumah. So what do you see from here? That even something that is quote-unquote swallowed and absorbed inside of the body still conveys tumah. That's why halacha lemaisa is she's going down to the mikvah before she has immersed. If that blood has dislodged itself from the uterus, but is still inside of the body, it conveys tumah. To which the Gemara says, Midami, how can you compare these cases? Amad Beis, Midami, Hasam, Ein La Tumah Bochutz. So we'll say, here's the difference. Right? Over there in the case of Nevelas of Tar, we will say the only way that Nevelas of Tar conveys Tumah is how? By being swallowed. In other words, we'll say, if you touch a Nevelas of Tar, Halach Lamaisa, that contact does not convey Tumah. It's only through swallowing. Hacha kinafik libra, lit me. But in this case over here, by the blood that has become dislodged, once it exits the body, it does convey tumah. Hachinami kishiyatza l'chutz. So I'll say, to which the Yimar says, you're right. What's the case? The case is where ultimately, again, the blood left the body. Yatza l'chutz ma'il memra. So we'll say, if you're telling me that it's a case that she's about to go into the mikvah and she bleeds before she goes into the mikvah, then of course she's tumeya, right? It's still yemei tumah. And if you're going to tell me the cases where she bled after she went to the mikvah, then of course she's tar because that's yemei tar. To which the Gemara says, what would you have thought? Migo de mehanya tefila ladam. you were to throw it as follows. Since ultimately, again, going to the mikvah, ultimately, again, works for us. Nigo de mahanya tfil ledam diika gavoi tahani nami lahai. So I'll say, since the blood, since the tefillah in the mikvah goes ahead and what? Works for the blood that is still in the uterus at the time she immerses. I might have thought that ultimately, again, it should work for the blood that has been dislodged and is in the canal as well. Kamashmalon, no. Kamashmalon, that's not the case. That Allah said, well, say, if you have a situation where blood has dislodged from the uterus and is in the canal, and it's there before she went to the mikvah, that blood will remain tamei. And ultimately, even immersion in the mikvah will not purify that blood. Shmaitin ifrik. So let's say we've answered up our questions before. Ela yoledes. But what's the case of yoledes? Ibi me nida nida. Ibi me ziva ziva. We will say when it comes to yoledes, ultimately the status of her blood should depend on what time of the month or what part of the calendar week she's going ahead and giving birth at. Hacham asking, what's the case? I will say it's actually fascinating. We're going to discuss this more. Beleda yeveshta. So we'll say we're talking about a case of a birth with no blood. A bloodless birth. What the Gemara calls a leida yeveshta. Rashi says, Deleka lo nida velo zava. There's no blood at all. And therefore, again, Abu say, the shaila is, what's her status? Because there's no nida and there's no zava. Leida yeveshta, right? My mitame bifnim kibachotzika. So we'll say, if that's the case, if it's a leida yeveshta, then what's the case of the discharge, or the discharge, being mitame bifnim, inside like outside? So we'll say, so halacha lemaisa, again, there's no fluids, right? If it's a dry birth, then halacha lemaisa, again, there's no blood, there's no discharge. So what's the case? Interesting enough, kigon, shahotzi vlad rosho chutz leprozdar. Now we'll say, what's the case? The case is where the baby's head emerged past the cervix and is inside of the prosdar, is inside of the vaginal canal. Ukid Rav Oshia. And I will say this reflects the view of Rav Oshia. The Amar Rav Oshia, Gzeira Shema Yotzi Havlad Rosho Chutz Leprozdar. We'll say, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, okay, go, Shotzi Vlad Rosho Chutz Leprozdar. Umolid. The Kamar Da Afagav Da Kati Rosho Bithnim. Who dahainu kebesachit? So haviki yalut utmea leida. So also we're going to say is as follows: once the baby's head emerges into the vaginal canal, halacha lemaisa, it is as if what, the baby has been birthed, in accordance with whose opinion, like Rav Oshia. What does Rav Oshia say next? Rashi dem Rav Oshia beperek behema makasha ahad is not isha shemis ubra besoch me'eha. So we'll say if you have a situation where nebach a woman lost the baby, but the baby died inside of her, right? Besoch me'eha. What happens? Upashta chaya es yada v'nagabo. The midwife inserted her hand and touched the fetus that was dead. So what happens? Hachaya tamea. Ultimately, again, the midwife becomes tamei as a result of tumas shiva, right? So tumas meis. Va'isha tohora atchietz avad. Interestingly enough, however, the mother will be tohora until the baby is delivered. And we ask, why is it that the midwife should become tamea after Rabbo said this is called swallowed up or absorbed? In other words, the baby is still inside of the mother. Because Rabboshia said that, what are we concerned about? We're concerned that maybe the baby's head entered into the vaginal canal, in which point it's considered to be birthed. In which case, again, if the midwife touched it, she would contract tumas meis. So what I said, the point over here the Gemara is making is that according to Rav Oshia, once the head is in the canal, halacha lemaisa, the baby is considered birthed. V'chiyahud asla kamei d'rabban. Rav Oshia, the Gemara gives a case like this. There was a man who came before Rav. It's actually quite interesting. Amrale mahu lemimhal b'shabsa. So let's listen to this. The man asked Rav, can you give a baby a bris milah on Shabbos? Amrale, Shapir Dami. He said, so Rav said, yes, of course you can give a baby a bris milah on Shabbos. Rav is actually quite fascinating. Basar dinafak, after the man left, Amar Rav, Saka Daitcha Dahu Gavra Delo Yada Deshar Lemimhal B'Shabsa. Is there anyone who doesn't know you can give a bris milah to a baby on Shabbos? Azl Basrei. So Rav ran after the man. Amrale, Eimale Izi Gufa Du'uvda Hechi Hava. Tell me exactly what the circumstances of your shayla are. So it's actually really quite fascinating. So meaning the man comes to Rav and says, Rebbe, can you give a baby a bris milah on Shabbos? Rav says, yes. After the man leaves, Rav says, Why wouldn't he know that? So I'll say, first of all, it's an incredible insight into how when someone asks a question, this is not just, by the way, in terms of halachic shalas, but a lot of times in life, when people ask questions, sometimes you have to understand where they're coming from in the question that they're asking, right? What's the deeper context of the particular question? It's not just true when somebody's asking a halachic shayla. This is true a lot of times in life. It's true a lot of times in marriage. It's true a lot of times in relationships. People ask questions, but they're asking sometimes much more than just the stated question that they are asking. So he runs after the guy, tells me, he says, tell me exactly what happened. So he says, Amrale, he said to Rava, here's what happened. Shamis Vlad ditzavitz apanye demale shabsa. So my wife was in delivery, or I don't know if it doesn't have to be his wife, but there was a woman in delivery on Erev Shabbos, and we heard the baby crying. We heard the baby crying on Erev Shabbos. Velo is yalid ad Shabsa. So this is incredible, but the baby wasn't delivered until Shabbos itself. So in other words, so apparently we heard the cries of the baby Erev Shabbos, but the baby didn't actually emerge from the mother until Shabbos. So we'll say Amarle, to which Rava responded, Hai Hotzi Rosho Chutz Leprozdarhu. So I'll say ultimately again, the fact that the baby was crying Rosh Hashanah means it must be that the baby emerged into the vaginal canal already on Friday, even though what? The birth didn't occur until Shabbos. And therefore again, the halacha is this baby is considered to have been birthed when? On Friday and not on Shabbos. Therefore, you cannot circumcise this baby on Shabbos. So remember again, it's only a mila bismano, only an eighth day bris that is docha Shabbos. But this baby ultimately, again, was considered to be halachically birthed already when? As a Friday. V'havi mila shalob bismano, v'chom mila shalob bismano, in mechalin alas ha-Shabbos. Well, so this will be a mila shalob bismano, and again, halacha l'maisa mila shalob bismano is not docha Shabbos. So pretty amazing. So we'll say, so therefore again, the takeaway of this is Raboshia. And Rav Oshia holds that halacha lemaisa, the baby is considered to be birthed as soon as the head is in the prozor. Rav Oshia, and remember, we don't paskin this way, right? We paskin in order for birth to have occurred, what has to happen? There has to be some emergence of the head. Remember, again, if the baby is born head first, then halacha lemaisa, as soon as the forehead emerges, the baby is birthed. If it's born feet first, if it's born breech, then it's the majority of the guf. Right, but lemaisa again, we do. But Rabbi Oshi has this incredible shita that as soon as the baby is in the canal, ultimately again, it's considered to be birthed. Ibay lehu. What's the interesting shaila? Also, makom shel isha belua havi or beisastarem havi. So I'll say ultimately again, the Gemara says as follows: Also makom. Right. So we'll say so. The makom erev on a woman is it, what is the status of that part of the body? Is it considered to be ultimately, again, balua? So I'll say, see, interestingly enough, balua means, see, we often use these terms interchangeably, but they really mean two different things. So tuma balua means a tuma that's tumuna, a totally hidden, a hidden tuma, a tuma that cannot be seen, versus beis hastarim. So I'll say beis hastarim ultimately, again, means a tuma that is in a closed off part of the body, but still may be partially visible. So we'll say, so just to kind of give you a little bit of an afghanina. So for example, we'll say, so everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, blood inside of the uterus, right, is called tuma balua, right? Meaning it's totally hidden, totally obscured. Let's say the ear, we'll say, could be something that's called tumas beis hastarim, because the ear is closed off, right? If you put something in the ear, it's closed off, but yet it still may be partially visible. So we'll say, so the shaila is, ultimately, again, osam makum, the makum erev on a woman, what is its status? Does that have the status of balua or beis hastarim? So my nafkamina, we'll say, what would be the nafkamina? Someone chooses some crazy nafkaminas over here. Kigon shetachvala chaverta kezayis nevela ba'osam makum. So we'll say, let's say again, there was a kezayis of nevela ba'osam makom. So we'll say, now what's the shayla? So the shayla is, does that nevela, right, what's the status of nevela ba'osam makom? I amrit balua havi, if you want to say that osam makom is considered to be totally hidden, havi tuma balua, then ultimately again, the nevela will be tuma balua. So therefore, lo metama, does not convey tuma at all. The amrit beis hastarim havi, but if you want to say that it's beis hastarim, then what are both saying? Nihid de b'maga lo metamyo, even though it will not convey tumas maga, nevertheless, b'masa miha metamyo, it will convey tumas masa. So we'll say, interestingly enough, tumas beis hastarim does not convey tumas maga, contact tuma, but will absolutely convey Tumas Masa, which is carrying Tuma. Abai says Balua Havi. Abai says also welcome to my Balua. Rava Amar Besastarim Havi. Rava says Sutri Besastara. It's Habesastarim. Amar Rava Minayim Mina. Rava says, from where do I know this? Disanya. Ella Mipnesha Tumas Besastarim Hi. So what's that? Because we said in the Braisa, that what? That also Makam is considered the Tumas Besastarim. Or Tumas Besastarim Lomitame. And Tumas Besastarim does not convey Tuma. Ella Shigzera Sakosafi. So we'll say, remember again, this is quoting back to the Braisa by Shechvas Zera. So we'll say, normally we would say that what? When there's Shechvas Zera inside of the woman, it's Tumas Beis Hastarim. But, and therefore again, it shouldn't become Tameh. But the Torah says Shechvas Zera inside of the woman does become Tameh. So you see from here that what? You see from here that Halacha Lamaisa, Oso Makom Beisha, has a din of Tumas Beis Hastarim. Va'abaye, Abaye would interpret that Braisa to mean Chada Va'ot Ka'amar. Abai says the Braisa means to say it's really two forms of tuma. So right, chadol chadol the tuma baluahi. The truth is shichvas zera inside of a woman is really tuma balua. Va'od afilu emtim salomar tumas beis astarimi. And even if you want to say that it's only tumas beis astarim, ena matame still shouldn't convey tuma. Ela shigzera sakasafi. But rather, again, you have to say the fact that a woman becomes tuma with tuma shichvas zera is gzera sakasaf. Fine. Ibaylo. So the Rishon Gemara asks one more question. Makom nevelas of tar balua, havi obeis astarim havi. So we'll say another shayla. What about again? We'll say remember going back to Tumas of tar. So going back to nevelas of tar. So we'll say remember again. A person swallows a piece of a nevelas of tar, which means a kosher bird that died without shechita. It only conveys tuma when. If you swallow it, that's the only way that item conveys tuma. Shabbos says, so the shaila is when you swallow it, is that considered to be tumas balua or tumas beis hastarim? Lamai nafkamina, Rabbos say, what's the nafkamina? Kigon shetachov lo chavera kezais nevela soch piv. Rabbos say, someone put a kezais of this nevelas of tar into my mouth. I amrit balua havi. If you want to say it's tuma balua, so then what? Tuma balua lamatamya doesn't convey tuma. So the Gemara says, "Il I amrit beis astarim havi." But if ultimately, again, it's tumas beis astarim, he the memaga lo metame b'masa mi metame. Although it won't convey tuma b'maga, it will convey tuma b'masa. Abai on balua, Rav beis astarim. Abai says tuma balua. Rav says it's beis astarim. Amar Abaye. So we'll see. Not to stop over here. We'll have to pick up a Meretz Hashem with this machlok. Is Abai and Rav about throat tuma? Is throat tuma considered tuma balua or tuma beis astarim? If it's tuma balua, then ultimately again no tuma. Tuma beis astarim, no tuma maga. But it does have tuma masa. To be continued tomorrow.